March 1st, 2008, in Sydney, Australia.
Therefore, Tam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarvabhutanam, of all living entities, Rit Padmeshu, in the lotus hearts, Krita Alayam, residing, Shruta Anubhavam, whose glories you have heard, Sharanam, unto the shelter, Raja, go, Bhavena, by devotional service, Bhamini, my dear mother. Of course, this verse reminds us of what verse in the Bhagavad Gita? What verse in the Bhagavad Gita does this verse remind us of? Why? Because of? And? Sharanam Vraja, right? Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. What does Sharanam Vrajam mean again? Go. Go. Take shelter. Do it. Surrender. Therefore, my dear mother, by devotional service, take direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. So close, huh? Rit Padmeshu. He's right there in our heart. Very easy to take shelter of somebody who is that close. Purport. One can attain direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full Krishna consciousness. What was the word here that Prabhupada translated as devotional service? Bhavena, yeah, bhava. Bhava means what?
Devotional.
Devotional? What does it mean literally, bhava? World?
Mood?
Yeah, emotion. What else? Not exactly, it's not mood. But it's sort of the root of action. Bhava in Sanskrit is like the English verb to be. That means existence. It also means living entities, a living being, to be, and emotion. Which is very interesting that life is equated to emotion. And it's also very interesting that Srila Prabhupada translates bhavena here as by devotional service. Okay? So here Prabhupada is saying, one can attain direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full Krishna consciousness, which is bhavena, and revive one's eternal relationship. Revive one's eternal relationship. So if something you revive, that means it already was there. If you have to revive something, it's already there, but it's become what? Something you're reviving. Vive. Viv means what? The root viv, Latin root viv. Vitality. What does that mean, viv? Vive la French, they say. Life. Life. Revive would mean give again, bring back to life. So if you revive something, it must be currently what? Dead, or almost dead. Can't be completely dead. Most of us can't revive something that's completely dead. But almost dead, or sleeping, injured, right? Heart attack, or something like that. So revive one's eternal relationship. So is this relationship created? No. It's eternal, and we're simply reviving. So how do we do that? One can attain direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full Krishna consciousness and revive one's eternal relationship with Him. And what is that eternal relationship? As lover, as Supreme Soul, as son, as friend, or as master. One can re-establish. So again, we're having re-establish. To re-establish, it had to already have been established. That means it's already there. So we're hearing Krishna is rooted padmeshu. He's in the lotus of the heart. He's there. And our eternal relationship is already there. And Prabhupada has used what the words re, what? Revive. And now he's saying re-establish. Does Prabhupada say this often? Re-establish? Yes. One can re-establish the transcendental loving relationship. Transcendental transcends the material senses. Transcendental loving relationship with the Supreme Lord in so many ways. Prabhupada was saying so many ways. He listed how many ways? How many ways did he list? Five. The five sthayibhava rasas. And Prabhupada was saying so many ways because even within each of those rasas, each of us is an individual. Each of us has our own particular relationship. So many ways. So one can reestablish the transcendental loving relationship with the Supreme Lord in so many ways. And that feeling is true oneness. Now that seems contradictory. If I say we can have a relationship in so many ways, and then we say it is oneness. Oneness seems to imply that it's, shall we say, there's no variety. It's all homogeneous. Right? So many ways it's heterogeneous. And so many different. Just like here, each of you is different. You each look a little different. Even materially, like I'm applying for a long-term visa in New Zealand, and for that they had to take my fingerprints to make sure that I'm not a criminal. It's kind of strange. I've seen that kind of sort of thing in the movies, you know? The criminal, somebody taking the fingerprints, so it was a little odd. But even with this body, though there's never been another body with the same fingerprints as this body. Unbelievable, isn't it? How is that possible? Such a little space. And in this little space, and there's unlimited variety. So what to speak of the soul? So many ways. Shiva Ramaraj, when I was in Hungary for Janmashtami, he was saying that Krishna really wants each of us to come back to Godhead because we're each individual, and therefore we each have our own unique flavor. Like there's a nice Govinda's restaurant in Dubai, very nice, because all these Muslims are sitting there taking prasad. So it was very enlivening. You see the women in their burqas and stuff eating prasadam. Anyway, they make their own ice cream. And they have so many different flavors of Sitapal ice cream. Have you ever had Sitapal ice cream? Oh, you must go to Dubai just to get the Sitapal ice cream. And kiwi ice cream, so many things. So they have, I don't know, maybe 30 flavors. So we are, each of us has our own flavor. And yet there's oneness. So what is this oneness? Prabhupada's saying so many ways, and that feeling is true oneness. The oneness of the Mayavadi philosophers and the oneness of the Vaishnava philosophers are different. The Mayavadi and Vaishnava philosophers both want to merge into the Supreme. That's an interesting statement. What did Prabhupada just say there? Anybody just tell me what I just read? Prabhupada just said the Vaishnava philosophers want to merge into the Supreme. Is that a revolutionary statement in the Hare Krishna movement? Pretty revolutionary. Let's read the whole thing. The Mayavadi and Vaishnava philosophers both want to merge into the Supreme, but the Vaishnavas do not lose their identity. They want to keep the identity of lover, parent, friend, or servant. Now he just mentions the four higher muscles. So we want to merge into the Supreme. What? Right? Keep our identity. What does that mean? Prabhupada will explain now. In the transcendental world, the servant and master are one. That is the absolute platform. Although the relationship is servant and master, both the servant and the served stand on the same platform. That is oneness. That's not true in this world, is it? You keep the servant at a distance. Some of you, any of you born in India? So you've seen servants, right? And those of us who visited India. And I was raised in America. I'm sure you could tell that after I said one or two sentences. And the family I was raised in had servants also. When I was a little girl, we had three servants. So the servants usually are not kept on the same platform, are they? You speak to them a little differently. Our servants never ate with us. You never let the servants eat with you, do you? No, never. They eat in a different place, a different time, right? Sometimes off different utensils. They have their servants' quarters, just like we're practicing, so in our temples. So Krishna has his opulent place. Nobody is staying in a room that's this opulent, are we? Right? We have our servants. Everyone has a little room. Sometimes we even have communal bathrooms and so forth. But in the spiritual world, it's not like that. The feeling, even if externally, there may be some etiquette like that. There's a feeling of oneness. Prabhupada says here, although the relationship is servant and master, both the servant and the served stand on the same platform. That's love. There's no exploitation. That is oneness. Lord Kapila Dev advised his mother that she did not need any indirect process. She was already situated in that direct process because the Supreme Lord had taken birth as her son. Actually, she did not need any further instruction because she was already in the perfectional stage. Kapila Dev advised her to continue in the same way. He therefore addressed his mother as Vamini, which means mother, to indicate that she was already thinking of the Lord as her son. Devahuti is advised by Lord Kapila to take directly to devotional service, Krishna consciousness, because without that consciousness, one cannot become liberated from the clutches of money. Atatam sarvabhutanam rit padmeshu kutalayam shrutanu bhavam sharanam vraja bhavena bhavani shrutanu bhavam. You take up anubhava, you take up the activities of shruta, of hearing, sharanam vraja, you just surrender to tam, to Krishna, bhavena, in love, bhavani, my mother. Therefore, my dear mother, by devotional service, take direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is seated in everyone's heart. So sometimes we find someone, I have some friends like this, where you can practically finish each other's sentences. You have some friend like that? You're so much attuned, you so much think similarly that you're having a discussion and practically you know what the other person's going to say before they finish. And you can speak almost in code, isn't it? You just say one or two words, the other person immediately understands. That's a very wonderful feeling, isn't it? That kind of connection with someone. We don't have too many people like that, usually. Maybe a few here and there. Sometimes you see husband and wife are like that. I know of two couples who are very much like that. They're practically like one soul and two bodies. And sometimes you see this between parent and child also, this real connection. Of course, we're all looking for this kind of connection. We try to achieve it on the bodily platform. This sort of oneness, this keeping of identity, and yet oneness. So between the mother and the child's body grows in the mother's body, and there's a feeling of oneness. When the woman is pregnant, she feels very much this, literally the bodies are connected, right? That whatever food the mother is eating, the baby is also eating. And after the child's born, she's feeding the child from her own body. Therefore, Prabhupada says that connection between mother and child is the closest thing you get to bhakti, And Prabhupada told my father in 76, I was sitting with my child on my lap. He was about a year old. He said, just like this mother is loving this child without expectation of return, in that way one should love Krishna. And we see, because the mother and child are joined, they're practically one, the mother feels that the child is part of her, and therefore she sacrifices for the child in a way that very rarely will people sacrifice for another living being. And at least when a child is very, very little, there's no reciprocation from the child, practically speaking, the first few weeks. Nothing at all. And the mother is giving so much selfless service. I was just speaking to one devotee who just had her first child, and you know, just like that. She said, yes, now I have some idea what is prema. You know, just giving and giving and giving, and you feel this kind of oneness. So we try to have this between parent and child, or of course between lovers, husband and wife. They put their bodies together to try to have this oneness and yet retain their identity. Right? And we try to do this on the bodily platform, we embrace them. We try to have this oneness with someone else's body and still keep our identity. But of course that's a little difficult because we're not the body. So even if we connect to someone as a husband, wife, a lover, as child, or we're embracing our friends, holding hands with our friends, trying to have some connection, because we're not the body, it's something like, you know, you're driving your car and someone else is driving your car and the cars hit each other. What is the... You haven't actually touched. And we think, well, let's go, Bhakti Vinod Thakur talks about three levels of rasa. The animal rasa, like we're speaking of above. Then there's the heavenly rasa of the mind and emotions. I was speaking in the beginning. Sometimes we have that kind of oneness. So here's a nice example. How old is your baby? How old is the baby? 2 weeks. 3 weeks. Yeah. So the baby's not, it's a little boy or a little girl? Little girl. So she's not reciprocating much with your affection yet, is she? No, no, she will. Another 3 weeks, you'll start to do that. This your first baby? Ah, so this is very difficult, isn't it? Your whole life turns upside down and inside out, hasn't it? Yeah, it's nice, but it's definitely a jagya, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a real jagya. We were just talking about that. So then we try to connect with people emotionally and mentally. Like I was saying, someone else, you can finish their sentences, you can speak, you just feel like, connected with this person. Even if they're far away, you think about them immediately, you feel this. You don't even have to have a physical touch. You feel that connection. But we find that materially, it's not quite right, is it? Even if you have that mental emotion. Sometimes it's not there. Even the person that you're very close to, sometimes a misunderstanding isn't there. And there's pain. In the modern age especially, people come together, husband and wife, they divorce. I don't know what the percentage is in Australia, but now in so many parts of the world it's so high, people don't even bother to marry. And why bother to marry? People just, they're not even trying to have an emotional connection with another human being because they say that it's so painful when it's broken. So we're trying for this kind of oneness with separate identity in so many ways. But it's broken. And even if it's perfect, I don't think anyone has one that's perfect, is it? Do you have any relationship perfect? With our mother, is it perfect? No, I don't think so. No matter how much we love our mother, certain things we wish she had done differently. Certain areas where there's some tension. Certain topics you just can't talk about. Or with our father, you know, those of us who are married with our husband or wife. You know, certain things you just you can't touch those things. They're volatile things. Or with our children. So I'm very blessed that I'm very close to my three children. But still, it's not perfect. So again, certain things you just don't go there. So there are certain pains. Or with your friends. Or with the speak of the people that you work with. There are certain areas of pain and hurt. But even if you had a perfect relationship, dukalayam ashashvatam, it's temporary. So first of all, in most of our relationships, we don't always experience this oneness and distinction and this real sense of love. And secondly, if we do, the rare cases when we do, it's temporary. It's temporary. the person will die. One devotee I know told me her parents were very, very close. Indian lady from Rajasthan. She said even in India she hardly saw any relationships like that. And then her father got killed in a car accident. And her mother went to a bed and didn't get out. And 1 year later she also died. So, you know, this is the difficulty. It's temporary. And then next life, who knows what we will be, what will be our relationships. Even if you have a relationship with person life after life, it's somewhat different. We don't keep the same thing. So we are all looking for, all of the songs in the world are talking either about looking for that relationship or lamenting over losing it practically, right? All the love songs in the world. When I was young, we used to, I'll be with you till the stars stop shining, right? As long as there's sun. Lord Brahma says that to Krishna after he comes back to see what happened to the cowherd boys and the calves. He says, as long as the sun is there, I will offer you my obeisances. But even how long will the sun be there? A whole lifetime. What is it? Yakaranana vajale vajitisma yoga nidram mananta jagadanda sarama kupara shakti malalam yapram smurti govinda mani purusham tam nam matam. And it's gone. Mahavishnu, Karana Dakshay Vishnu knows. It's all gone. Sun gone. Everything. Well, we sing that, you know, as long as the sun's there, I'll love you. Or we're crying, why is my love left? So we are looking for something a little different, and that is there in Krishna. That is there in Krishna. And Krishna is already there. Rit padmeshu. He's already there. Surit. He's such a dear friend. Not just like a casual friend, but a very, very dear friend. And here Srila Prabhupada is saying we have an eternal relationship that has to be simply what?
Revived.
And revived means again, bring back to life. Vive means, viv means life. So bring it back to life. It's sleeping. Jeev jago. It's sleeping, but it's already there. It's already there. You don't have to create it. You just have to wake it up, that's all. And pour some water on it, you know, sleeping person, pour some water on it, make some loud sound, and it will wake up. So what are those relationships? So Prabhupada's explaining here. What are those relationships? And first relationship is what? What? You're going to start with the top? He starts with the bottom. So servant. So Ramananda Roy explains to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that all of these relationships are equal on the spiritual platform and each feels fully satisfied, but yet one can talk about degrees because each relationship includes everything in the previous one. And Ramananda Roy gives the example that just like the qualities of ether are contained in air, and the qualities of air and ether are contained in fire, and the qualities of air, ether, and fire are contained in water, and the qualities of ether, air, and fire and water are contained in earth, which is another class. So in the same way, the feelings of having Krishna as the master are contained in the feelings of, rather, neutrality is contained in servitorship, and neutrality and servitorship contained in friendship, and all those contained in parental, and all those contained in conjugal, with some added element. So we start with neutrality. So neutrality is just awe. Krishna is wonderful. Narayan is wonderful. In this world, that's something like the way people treat rock stars, politicians. You know, when Princess Diana died, there were, what, something like 10 million, 20 million people just wanting to see the box that has her dead body in it. So that is neutrality. They don't have any, you know, they're not doing anything for her. They just want to be there with people. They just want to get a little cloth from the clothes of some movie star or some rock star. They want to just have their picture in there. So the feelings of those in neutrality, they're very happy to live simply. That gives them great happiness. Rupa Goswami says, those in neutrality, they think, when can I live in a cave in the mountains wearing only underwear and give up my eating and sleeping? and that is their feeling of ecstasy. And many devotees, some of the devotees in neutrality are serving as Krishna's paraphernalia. Then we have the servants, Krishna's servants. So Krishna has different categories of servants. So some are like the demigods, his deputed servants, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra. And then there are those who come to the Lord's protection. We're saying, Sharanam Vraja, please take care of me. Let me serve you. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing when he went on his tour of South India. Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Pahima. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Pahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Pahimam, Rakshamam, you maintain me. You please maintain me. You please protect me. Like Madhavendra Puri, he's not even begging for food. Someone brings him food? Someone doesn't bring food. Okay. Like there's that Jamunacharya, he said, no, it's not Krishna bringing you food, it's Krishna's agents. You know that story? And he crossed out Yogakshema Vidhamyaham from the Bhagavad Gita. He says, no, it's not aham. It's not Krishna who's bringing. Then he went to take a bath, and these two beautiful boys come carrying these baskets of this opulent food, and they give it to his wife. She said, why, you little delicate boys carrying such heavy burdens? They said, your husband sent us? He said, my husband? He wouldn't send such little boys, children. He's not abusive, she said. He's not cruel. And then as she's taking the food, she sees that there's these red marks on your back from being beaten. She says, who's beating you? They said, your husband. She says, what is this? My husband doesn't beat anybody. He doesn't beat any children. And she says, I'll prepare the food. You stay. No. If we stay, your husband will come back and beat us some more. They go, and she's cooking, but she's very upset. She's really angry. You know, her husband comes back. She says, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? What are you making these boys carry these heavy loads of food and beating them? And he says, what are you talking about? She starts describing the boys. That's Krishna Bhava. They personally bought. And because I scratched out the words in the Bhagavad Gita, I was beating them, making scratches in their backs. I said to his wife, you were so fortunate. He said, I was beating them, but you were seeing them and getting the food from their hands. So that's another kind of servant, those who are protected and maintained by the Lord. And then those are the servants who are Krishna's followers. They follow him around, literally, with an umbrella. Here's your umbrella. Here's your shoes. Here's your this. Here's your that. And they're always following Krishna. And then there are Krishna's associates who are in the mood of servants, as Uddhava. Uddhava has some mix of friendship, but mostly he's thinking Krishna's servant. But they're associated with Krishna. They're not just like running around with an umbrella. But Uddhava's there offering advice and stuff to Krishna. And Krishna, of course, has servants in each of his incarnations. So there are intimate servants in Vrindavan. They're bringing, here Mother Yasoda. Here's Krishna's ankle bells. So someone is polishing Krishna's ankle bells. And just like you're making what, giwits? And you're making garlands. So just like that. So Krishna has so many servants everywhere that are doing these different services. And then Krishna has friends. So among friends, there are the well-wishing friends who are a little older than Krishna. They have some feeling of protecting Krishna. Sometimes they think they have to get weapons and follow along with Krishna to protect him, but they have this feeling of friendship. And then there are the friends who are a little younger, and they're looking up to Krishna. We all have friends like this, right? We have some friends who are sort of older, superior friends, and then we have some friends that we're friends with them, but yet they're younger than us. I mean, it's sort of interesting to me that I have a number of friends in the movement who are the same ages as my children, but I think of them as my friends. You follow? But yet still there's some sense there. And then Krishna has very confidential friends, like Sridham and Sudama, like that they're playing as equals. Like when Palombasura was there and they're fighting, and you know, who's the winner gets to ride on the back of the loser, and Krishna loses. Right? Krishna never loses, but to his friends he loses. And then there's the really confidential friends, the Priyanamasakas. And they are somewhat involved in Krishna's conjugal affairs. They're carrying messages from Krishna to Radharani. Some of them, like Madhu Mangal, are actually engaged in the path. They're very, very confidential. And then there's, of course, Krishna's parents. Those are the Mudav parents, the topmost of which is, who is the most intimate? This is an easy question. Who's the most intimate parent of Krishna? Yashoda. After that, Nanda Maharaj. After that, Devaki. After that, Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, then Rohini, then Devaki, then Vasudev's other 15 wives. You know, Vasudev had 100 children. We don't hear much about that, don't tell us. All of Krishna and Balaram's other brothers and sisters. So Vasudev's other wives, then Vasudev, and then Kunti, and then all of the all of the elderly parents in Vrindavan, the older gopas and gopis who had Krishna for 1 year as their child. You know that pastime? When Lord Brahma stole the boys and Krishna became all of the boys. So the fathers were taking care of the cows at the top of Govardhan Hill, and there were the calves at the bottom, but those cows were actually all Krishna. And they were being taken care of by boys who were actually all Krishna. And the cows. So the cows also are in this category of this parental rasa, because they had Krishna as their calf children. Krishna actually became their Krishna. So kind. He has even this relationship with his cows. So they were so anxious to see their children. Just like you feel some anxiety if you can't see your daughter, right? Where is she? It won't last to that extent. It won't be as intense. I haven't seen my daughter for some months, and I don't feel that intensity that you feel when they're just 3 weeks old. But the cows felt that intense, much more so. Imagine if someone took your baby and you didn't know where they took her to. Okay? And multiply that millions and millions of times, and that was how the cows felt. Oh, my babies! Babies. And the cows have had other babies that were drinking milk. And, you know, among animals, they don't maintain so much. Some do. Elephants do. And generally, they don't maintain so much relationship with the children after they're grown up. But they were to see. And there was a rough path. There were all the rocks. You've been seeing Govardhan Hill? Very rocky. They were just running. And it's parental. And what's interesting there is that the cowherd men, they tried to stop the cows. Remember how it says that they felt? Do you remember how it says that they felt when they couldn't stop the cows? Yeah, but how are the cowherd men feeling?
When they started running, they were a bit angry because they didn't want the offspring because they were really
angry. They were angry, and they were also what? Baffled? Frustrated? Why? They felt they had done what? They had a duty to Krishna to keep the cows at the top of the hill. That was their service for Krishna. Why did they feel so angry and frustrated? Because they felt they had what? Failed. They felt they had failed in their duty. Interesting. Isn't it? It says, baffled by their failure, Prabhupada says. Baffled by their failure. Why did I fail? Sometimes does it seem that we externally fail when we try to do some service for Krishna? We try to do some externally, we fail. Anyway, so they went down, they were smelling the boys' heads. And as soon as they smelled the heads of their sons who were Krishna, they were felt so much love, they forgot all about all of their feeling of bafflement and failure. And then there are the lovers of Krishna. So those are Krishna's wives. And Krishna's girlfriends. Are Krishna in conjugal love. Now, these relationships are just part of rasa. They're just part of rasa. This is called the stai bhava. Stai means it stays, like stana, place. So that is what Prabhupada's talking about here, eternal. Eternal. Of course, there are some jivas, for example, there are some jivas who have a relationship of servant to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and lover to Krishna. And there are some jivas who have one relationship with Ramchandra, one with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one with Krishna. So that is also there. Prabhupada says a liberated soul can also expand themselves, not like Krishna. Haven't you ever wanted to be in two places at once? Yeah. When I went to school, I always wanted to have another expansion at the beach. So the liberated souls can also have a different, actually, relationships with Krishna in different ways. But that is part, what is the sthayi bhava? And then there's the vibhava. The vibhava is what induces you to have that relationship. And there's two parts to that. One is Krishna and the devotees. Krishna himself. And Krishna's elevated devotees, at least it, Rupa Goswami says, at least at bhava, that stimulate one's eternal relationship. You can't think of Krishna as your lover unless you know Krishna. You can't think of Krishna as your son unless you know Krishna. There has to be, you know, people who talk about love of God, but they don't know anything about God. How? What is the meaning of that? Like, I don't know most of you. So if I say, oh, I really like you, but I don't even know your name. I don't know anything about you. Does that mean anything? If I say, oh, I saw this devotee sitting in the class, he's a little mustache, or does it say authentic on his sweatshirt? I really like that devotee. You'd say, how do you like the devotee? You don't even know him. What is the meaning of it? And you would even say, what do you mean you like me? You don't know, why you know my name. Isn't it? Hey? Sometimes people do that. You know, they'll come to me and they say, oh, Arvila, you're so, I'm thinking, you don't even know me. Or is it flattery only? What are you trying to get from me? So you have to know Krishna. And you get to know Krishna through Krishna's devotees. They introduce you. Krishna's very personal. It's really who you know. You have to be introduced. So the impetus comes from Krishna and Krishna's devotees, and then there's specific stimulus called udipan. Krishna's, the sound of Krishna's flute, how soft Krishna is, how beautifully he's dressed, all of his wonderful qualities. So as one meditates on these, all of one Krishna's wants, so we get to know Krishna and everything wonderful about him, everything wonderful about his devotees, that starts to revive. It's watering, sprinkling some water on our own. I really like Krishna, and I like Krishna as something. Right? And then, if one likes Krishna in some way, then there's activities. So this is the next part of rasa, the third part of rasa, anubhava. Activities you do, just like you're doing something. Actually, you're not supposed to be doing that in the class. That's a little paid political announcement. You ever notice it's only the women who do this stuff in the class? I called it arts and crafts. Prabhupada would yell at people to stop. But we do something for Krishna. We do something. We make giwiks, we make garlands, we clean the temple, dressing Srila Prabhupada, cooking, doing something practical. And not just devotional service, so not just some devotion, but some action. Okay? So then there's the anubhava. And then there's the vyabhichari. Bhava. Vyabhichari bhava is something extraordinary. Like in the ocean, sometimes there's a very big wave. They call them rogue waves. Like 10, 20 meters high sometimes, knock out a whole ship. So sometimes there's some incredible emotion, like Krishna's in the coils of Kaliya. Like, you know, everyone becomes full of fear. So these are not, these emotions, the vyavichari emotions, they're part of rasa, but they're always changing. So the sthayi bhava is the basic relationship. The vibhava is what induces what we know of Krishna, the devotees, that brings out in that relationship. Anubhava is what you normally do in that relationship. And the vyavichari bhava, those are changing waves, different emotions, depending on the circumstance. And then there's the sattvika bhava. Sattvika bhava is involuntary. Anubhava is voluntary. You do some service. And sattvika bhava is the involuntary expression of love, like standing with the hairs on end and trembling and perspiring. These things give Krishna great pleasure. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? When will the hairs of my body stand on end with the recitation? It brings Krishna great pleasure. Just like if you give a present to someone you know, give a present to a little child, they go, oh, thank you, Daddy! And they get all excited. Right? Yeah. That's why men want to buy their wife jewelry. So she goes, oh! That makes a person happy, isn't it? That's what we do it for. That's why we do things for people. We want to see their happiness, their involuntary, spontaneous happiness. And so that Krishna is very, very happy when his devotees are exhibiting these sattvic bhavas of love for him. All right, now how are we going to do this? Say, oh, this is all high stuff. What does it have to do with me? I'm Vacha Vega, Manasaprota Vega, Jiva Vega, Virapasta Vega. I'm just trying to control my mind and my anger and my, you know, thug belly. The Prabhupada's asking us, he's saying one can attain direct contact with the Supreme Personality of God and in full Krishna consciousness and revive one's eternal relationship with him as lover, as Supreme Soul, as son, as friend, as master. How do we do that? So maybe some of us here have already started to revive our eternal relationship. But if we haven't, we can start very simple way to start. We start with some relationship. It has to be some sambandha. It has to be some relationship. Has to be some relationship. So there's some, even for a beginner, even if some of us are beginner, there's some vibha. We have association with Srila Prabhupada, we have association here with Kapila, with Devahuti, with so many devotees, we have association with Krishna. Even if you can't see, you can't feel that Krishna is in the heart, Ridhupadameshu, as it's said here. We see Krishna deity with something in the holy name, something in the holy name. You feel something. Is it something that you've experienced in chanting that you can't explain by regular music? Right? Even if the chanting's not so musical, we should try to make our kirtans musical and attractive. But even if it's not so musical, even if you could find much better music from a sensory point of view, we get some taste in the kirtan, isn't it? Some taste in the japa, some taste in the japa that you wouldn't get just by saying Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. There's something going on there. It's something in the deities. It's not just like some sculpture in an art museum. There's something there. Something when we read the books, something we take prasadam. Prasadam is made of ordinary ingredients. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, everybody knows it's just flour and sugar and whatever. But you take the prasadam. And people will say, you know, I've tried making rice according to your recipe, and it never turns out the same. Why? Because there's the taste of God in there. So we have our vibhava. We know something about Krishna that can still we can meditate on. Something, the devotee, some quality of Krishna, some pastime of Krishna, we can meditate on that. That will start to revive our eternal relationship. Then Anubhava, we can do something. Do something. Clean the floor, you dress the deities, you make the ghee, you run the restaurant, you do something. Do some practical service. Then Vyabhichari Bhava. Sometimes there's some crisis, right? There's not enough money. There's some political problem. Or we have to get a festival together. Something extraordinary where we feel some emotion. Prabhupada said the Rath Yatra is a feeling festival. We should have some, as it's saying here. Sharanam Vraja Bhavena. Some feeling. And then Sattvika Bhava. So sometimes we may experience some involuntary, natural expression of happiness in Krishna service. So even at a neophyte level, we can experience that to some extent. And Krishna's giving in the Bhagavad Gita some idea of the relationship that one can feel with Krishna, even at a beginning stage. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suranam sarvabhutanam yadfamam shanti vachati. So it's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada takes this verse and he has the gopis saying this to Krishna. When the gopis come to Krishna for Rasa-lila, then he tells them to go home. Krishna calls you when you come, and then he says, go away. Go home. So they have many entreaties that they make, and one of them is this verse, which is interesting because it's not really there in the Bhagavatam verses. It's like Prabhupada took a word from here and a word from there from different verses and put them together in Krishna book. And he has the gopis saying, my dear Lord, let us be everlastingly enjoyed by you. So we're doing so many austerities. Anybody here not do any austerities? Anyone's life here just easy? Or do you do some austerities? Everyone do some austerities? Do you make some sacrifices? Do you make some sacrifices, anyone? Do you make some sacrifices? Do you make some sacrifices? Do you have some austerities? Krishna is the enjoyer. As you're doing your sacrifices and austerities, you can think, my dear Lord, let me be everlastingly enjoyed by you. You please enjoy the results of these sacrifices. Sarvalokam Maheshwaram. And then the gopis say, please be our proprietor, because that is your natural claim. We are already owned by Krishna. The proof of that is that he can take everything we have in a moment's notice. So I am speaking. Can Krishna take away my speaking ability in a moment? Of course. He can take away my, remember, Matas, Matir, Gan, and the Poland, and I can sit here and go, now what was I going to say? And forget everything. Which is why people don't like to sit up here. They're afraid that Krishna will do that to them. Sometimes he does that. He can take away our ability to walk, to think, anything. Everything we have. Which is why people in the world are so fearful. Krishna can take it away in a moment, and he will, won't he? That's for sure. It's just a question of when and how. But we know he's going to take it. So he's the owner. My daughter and her husband were renting a place in India, and the owner came. They can do this in India. And said, yeah, sorry, I want my relative to stay here. You have 2 days to get out. So Krishna may not even give you 2 days. Sorry, I would like your body to turn into dirt right now. I need it to grow some trees. Very valuable body. I'd like your body to be used for potting soil. Would you please vacate? So Krishna's already our, you know, I went up for worm food. I have some worms I'd like. They're hungry. Some hungry worms. Would you please donate your body now? So Krishna's already our proprietor. Suranam Sarvabhutanam. And they say, and be our best friend because you are naturally so. Let us be perpetually enjoyed by you. Be our proprietor because that is your natural claim. And be our best friend because you are naturally so. So we can all meditate on that relationship with Krishna. Even if you say, well, I don't know yet if I'm Krishna's surrogate, mother, maybe some of you know. But even if you say you don't know, at least that. Krishna is my enjoyer. Krishna is my proprietor. And Krishna is my best friend. And we can easily do that. We can do it today. We can do it in the next half an hour. We can do it in the next hour. Because are we always making some sacrifices? Are we always aware that somebody owns us? That we can be called at every moment? And are we always looking for that best friend? So that we can do it. So it's a question of whether or not we decide to do it. That is our independence. What do I meditate on? Where is my consciousness? Where is my bhav? Where is my feeling? And then we can do that. And if we do that, very, very soon, the specifics of our own individual flavor of relationship with Krishna will be revived. And then we will find this oneness and this individuality for which we are seeking with our children, with our spouse, with our lovers, with our friends, with so many others. And then those relationships will also become perfect. We will no longer need anything from them. We will simply be able to give, because we will be completely full with Krishna. So, thank you. We have 2 minutes. Questions, comments, corrections, chastisements, additions, subtractions. Yes? Yes. You can have those relationships in this material world, but they're illusory. So you have the appearance of them. You don't have the reality of them.
We can relate to Krishna in a similar way, but that's not actually...
Oh, no, in this to Krishna? Oh, yes, you can relate to Krishna. But not... that's internal. Internal. Krishna's not interested in having the relationship like that with your body, your material body. But internally, yes, oh, absolutely. You can live with that spiritual relationship with Krishna in this world. Definitely. You can definitely do that. Something like you can be sitting here and thinking about something else. You can be thinking about some friend in another place, and you can be absorbed in your relationship with that friend even though you're apparently sitting here. So one can be moving in the world and fully absorbed in their eternal relationship with Krishna. Sometimes a little bit more attention given to the world, sometimes a little bit more attention given to the internal, and sometimes some of each. Is that all right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited those. So thank you very much. Thank you for having me here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.